o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. They haven't done it, but they've done it. They've got to the NBA Finals, which has never happened in franchise history. Nuggets getting the sweep. You and I thought it'd go seven. We were wrong. We thought they would win last night. We were right. So there we go. It's a mixed bag of us being right and wrong. But I'm speaking for you. I'm perfectly happy being wrong about they going seven games.
Yeah, that works for me.
And for a while last night, you're thinking, okay, Lakers going to find a way to get this back to Denver the way the first half started.
We'll do it in Denver.
Do it on the home floor.
Yep.
And Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets said, no, we're here. Let's get it over with. Let's have LeBron talk about retirement. Of course, he says he will play one more season. He's under contract for one more season. But Denver gets a win last night. Nikola Jokic playing with foul trouble. And look, the Nuggets weren't getting some calls on the offensive end. But I hated to agree with the guys on ESPN last night. Those were fouls on Denver's end.
Yeah.
I mean, Nikola Jokic picked up two fouls that were legitimate fouls. If you're a Nuggets fan, do not tell me he did. Those were not fouls. They were putting himself into foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, surpasses Will Chamberlain for the most playoff triple doubles. 30-point night last night, 14 rebounds, 13 assists. And the Nuggets get it done on the road at crypto.com.
The crypt.
Lakers crypt. Stock dropping like the stock for crypto bros.
Yeah.
I guess just your feeling about it, because I'm obviously I'm older, but I'm a much longer Nuggets fan. Yeah, that's the rumor out there. For me, it's mind blowing because they're the last of the big four in Denver to get to a championship round.
Yeah, and I was talking with the wife last night after the game. It's like, you know, now there you can put Denver with the other cities, right?
Like right.
Miami.
New York, Boston,
LA, DC, Philadelphia, that have had all of their teams at least make the championship round. Not every city can say that, especially with the four major sports teams. They're last to do it. Maybe they're going to show up better than the baseball team that did it. Maybe they're going to win one. They're not going to play Boston. Doesn't look like.
It's not looking good. I'd be fine with that if that's the case.
My main takeaway is not necessarily Nuggets related. It's the dude is 38 and he went for 40 last night. LeBron is great.
He's still pretty damn good, isn't he?
Damn. And then the fact that they were able to come from behind both times in L.A., they looked like hot garbage in the first half.
Yes, they did.
They were down 15 at the break. And they led by six going to the second or fourth quarter, five or six. They outscored the Lakers by 20 points in the third quarter, which was absolutely ridiculous. Joker got into some foul trouble, which was of his own making.
Yes.
You know, and the Davis dunk with like 2 or 3 minutes left, they didn't reference it on the TV broadcast, but I know that, you know, he could have tried to do a little more with that if he wasn't playing with five fouls, right? It wouldn't have been nearly as tight, I don't think.
Exactly.
But the fact that, you know, their biggest adversity since losing to the Suns was how they played in the first half last night against the Lakers. Yeah. And it didn't faze them in the second half.
They just kind of rolled up their sleeves and said, okay, that was the first half, and they came out in the third quarter, and played
they came out
sensational
in the third
basketball.
Quarter and they're like, "All right, we're done with you.
All right,
we're done with this. We're going to the finals.
We're done messing around. We don't care who you have. We don't care that you have LeBron. We don't care that you have the unibrow. We don't care. we just don't care.
Right.
And so Denver goes to their first ever finals. Bruce Brown wasn't as impactful as he normally is, but Aaron Gordon was.
Aaron Gordon was huge.
Aaron Gordon played his best game of the playoffs last night on both ends of the floor.
100%.
On both ends of the floor. Blocks LeBron's shot, though. Give Jamal Murray the credit for reaching in and kind of tying him up a little bit on that final play.
That was also ballsy.
That yes, it was. It's like, okay. Yeah, because you can see them calling a foul there, can't you?
100%. That's what I was going to say. You can't wake up this morning and be like, LeBron gets all the calls. No.
Yeah, he didn't get that one.
He didn't get that one.
I mean, Jamal got the ball.
I'm fine with it.
But Jamal also, he got a little bit of him.
Yeah. You know, but Jamal got quite a bit of – he got enough of the ball to where I think you can wake up this morning and be like, oh, okay, we didn't luck into this. You know what I mean?
No. There was no lucking into it.
No.
For the Nuggets.
They wrecked them. I mean, they're simple as that. Second half, they kicked their tail and other body parts. It was just an absolute boat race in the second half by the Nuggets.
Yeah. I mean, just the way they just got up off the mat and said, okay. It was kind of like it was a prize fight.
Yep.
Lakers went out with what LeBron did in the first half, throwing haymakers, throwing uppercuts. Denver gets knocked down several times, and then the halftime just kind of went.
Oh, is that it?
Okay, that was your best shot. Now we're ready.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it felt like. It was very much a, oh, that's all?
That's it?
Like, all right, well, here we go.
Down by 15 at halftime? We're okay.
It's like, that's all you got? Big bad Lakers.
Better made it 30.
Yep.
Which they didn't.
They did not.
But I thought the job Aaron Gordon did defensively, even though LeBron scored 40, in the fourth quarter, what he did. Of really, I thought, challenging LeBron. The play was the corner three, or the shot from the late in the fourth, where he defended really, forced him to put the shot off the side of the backboard.
Mm-hmm.
Played some outstanding defense. And that's a play you can see LeBron making, because we've seen him make that play.
Oh, absolutely.
And so give Aaron Gordon a ton of credit for the job he did last night. 22 points. And then there's Nikola Jokic, who, playing in foul trouble, just went out and distributed like he does.
Mm-hmm.
Passes some dude named Wilt Chamberlain for the most triple-doubles in playoff history. That's pretty good.
Was he good?
He was pretty good, I heard. He was a pretty good player. Pretty good player for the Lakers?
Yeah. They panned up to the retired jersey.
Yeah.
I was like, interesting.
So,
how about that?
Your reaction today to the Nuggets going to the NBA Finals. And they do this for the David Thompsons, for the Bobby Jones, for the Dan Issels, for the Fat Levers and the Calvin Nats, the LaPhonso Ellis's, Dikembe Mutombo's out there, the Bill Hanslicks.
Yeah.
The Doug Moe's and the George Carls.
I know people are going to like the Carmellos.
And the Carmellos.
The Chaunceys, the AIs.
Yep.
There's a lot of weight
Alex
on this
English.
Trip.
Yeah. Do not want to leave out one of the all-time great Denver Nuggets and Alex English.
Birdman.
Still have a Birdman Arby's glass, by the way. Nice. That's my one little ritual.
Uh-huh.
Iced tea in the Birdman Arby's glass on game day during the postseason. It's worked out pretty well.
There you go. So, yeah, so far.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well. So, for all those great players, and Denver gets to the place where, unfortunately, none of them have ever
been. Well,
Nuggets win sweep a playoff series for the first time ever. Nuggets sweep the Lakers and beat the Lakers in a playoff series for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know around here, the excitement of the Avalanche going last year was palpable. I mean, and there is excitement about the Nuggets, but it's not the same, is it?
No.
It's unfair, and it's sad that it's not to the same level.
at least this part of the state, the Nuggets are kind of a distant fourth.
They kind of are. Even behind the Rockies, which...
Yeah.
You know.
Which is unfortunate.
Which is unfortunate, but, because this team's the number one seed in the Western Conference. They're in the NBA Finals. They've got a back-to-back MVP.
But also, like, Junction's a baseball town, right?
Yeah.
Because of JUCO and CMU and all the high school. It's a baseball town. It's a football town. It's embraced hockey. And basketball is kind of fourth. It's not a huge basketball town. That's fine.
I think it depends on, like, Colorado Mesa and high school. Like, those are obviously well-supported and well-followed, both the men and the women over at CMU. But I think the NBA, there's just not the same level of excitement. And I get it for various reasons mm-hmm. of why. Some of them understandable, some of them, eh.
Some of them is kind of like, you just don't want to like it. That's fine.
Okay. If you don't have to like it.
Right. But it's fourth.
Probably.
They're making a run at it. I will say.
I mean, as far as the Nuggets, per se, I wouldn't say about basketball in general. I do agree with you.
Nuggets are fourth.
We're more of a baseball town, mm-hmm. football town. But basketball, like you were saying, you were on the phone, is, I think, well-supported with the Mavericks in high school.
But behind the other sports nationally, the pro sports and even big-time college sports, basketball is... Behind hockey, the Nuggets are behind the Avs 100% because the success, the early success of the Avs helped build that a little bit.
Think so.
And, you know, whether the worst team in the league seasons, the Nuggets lost people during the Brian Shaw era and never really got them back. So there's part of that, or they're just not coming back now.
Or it's people who just don't like the league in general. It's nothing.
Yeah, they don't like the players. They don't like the league. They don't like the officiating.
Don't like the style of play. Don't like certain things about the league mm-hmm. that we will not get into.
And some of those, you know, like, I'm not a fan of the officiating or the style of play where it's all threes all the time. I like the way the Nuggets play because there's ball movement and the
it's fun to watch.
Flow, and it's fun.
It's a team game with the Nuggets.
Yeah, it's different for other people, and I understand that.
Right.
The thing I did like before we get to our caller is I was on the socials last night, and I follow a lot of Avs players on Instagram. Every single one of them, Landeskog, McKinnon, Rantanen, Makar, Eric Johnson, all posting about the Nuggets going to the finals, which is really cool.
All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
This is Pete.
All right.
Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Doing great, actually.
So, what's your feelings, Pete? Because I know you're a Nuggets fan. You got to be on cloud nine today, Pete.
Well, I've been a Nugget fan since the 70s. I know I'm showing my age, but I'm like, oh my gosh, this is bucket list. I mean, this is hope, you know, hoping that, yeah, I was one of those saying we're the only team that hasn't been to the finals of our four. And I was just like, oh my gosh, my favorite team hasn't ever got there. So it's super exciting.
What's the thing that you're going to probably remember the most about last night? That's always going to be in Pete's memory of being a Nuggets fan about that game.
Probably that just that we have the toughness now, and we just have the guys that actually, you know what, if I was to pick a team that I would like to have, like a player's team ball, I'm a big Larry Bird fan, so mm-hmm. Just to see the team ball that they play, and just now Jokic is just, he's in that category. And just that they're representing the NBA, like, I wish they would. And it was like, I can't even believe we have this kind of team, you know. And it's super exciting. And, and it's a lot of memories of when they came into the NBA. And, you know, it was 77 and 76, 77. And I thought we would even win one then because we had a good team during that time. And it was kind of surprising we'd get knocked out during David Thompson, Dan Issel years, and
Bobby Jones. I mean, there were
great teams then.
I mean David Thompson was, Pete, I guess some people would say he was a poor man's Julius Erving, but David Thompson was just he was one of the best players in the league. He was one of the best players in the ABA. He was one of the best players in the NBA when the Nuggets came in. Dan Issel, just an incredibly reliable scorer. Yep. Certainly one of the shorter post players in the league, even at that time. But an incredible tenacity on the boards, really good scorer. Bobby Jones. I mean, yeah, you thought, okay, Denver might get to a final somewhere in that stretch, and it just never happened.
Yeah. It just didn't. It seemed like Seattle got in our way with Dennis Johnson, just shut Thompson down. I still remember that stuff, man. And then even, the Carmelo years after, we almost broke through that they lost a couple games that they should have won in that series against the Lakers with Kobe and Gasol. And we just couldn't quite get through there. So I think the best part of all of it was sweeping the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean,
with the cherry on top, if you're a Nuggets fan. Everybody that I talked to family-wise at Nuggets fan, they wanted to beat the Lakers. I mean, period.
Right.
It wasn't the Warriors. It was the Lakers.
Right, and I kind of felt the same way. I also thought the matchup was better for the Nuggets with the mm-hmm. Lakers, and even though the Lakers don't have Shaq, Kobe, they're not those Lakers. You got LeBron, they got AD, and the Lakers beating the Nuggets in the bubble. There's just Nuggets have never been able to beat the Lakers in the playoffs. There was just, even though it would have been an incredible win against Golden State in the Western Conference Finals, it felt like it meant more, didn't it, with the Nuggets beating the Lakers last night?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it did. I mean, and I was hoping that Boston, I don't know if they have a slight chance, but it would have been great to beat two of the iconic teams in the same season. But you know what? I mean, I'm just sweeping the Lakers and LeBron James. I mean, this is going to go down. I mean, he's one of the top five players. I don't care what your list is like. He's definitely top five easily.
I agree.
For the Nuggets to beat that guy and the way he
scored 40 last night. I mean, you could hate him as much as you want.
He went 40 at almost 40.
Yeah, he scored 40 freaking points last night in a game that they had to win. He did everything he could. And there was certainly that last shot. There was a shot I referenced. Aaron Gordon played really good defense on mm-hmm. him, and he misses the three, hits it off the side of the backboard. But he put them in a position to win that game.
Yeah,
and Denver, you know what, though? Denver made the adjustment because he did the vast majority of his damage in the first half and didn't do much in the second half. And that's where the ADs and players like that probably had to elevate, D'Angelo Russell, guys like that. Austin Reeves had to kind of pick that up, and they didn't last night.
Hey, one last thing. That third quarter, I mean, Jokic, he's the one that put the Nuggets on his back, man. That dude was rebounding everything and running the team down the court. I mean, that's what everybody, if you don't know now, should know who the real MVP is. I mean,
I agree.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. He's put that to rest. Okay, you guys.
Pete, couldn't hear it from you. It's been too long. Take care, okay? Yeah. Hope you and the family are well.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. There's Pete. Haven't heard from Pete in a long time.
Yeah. And the Western Conference Finals MVP, a little more meaningful than the regular season MVP, I think. Because that means at least you're going to the finals. The last three seasons, the MVP of the league hasn't sniffed the finals. No offense.
Yeah. And Nikola Jokic, of course, your MVP. Almost seems like it's like, you don't even need to say it. It's like, no doubt that guy's the MVP of the Western Conference Finals. All right, 7:19, Jim along with Buckeye Boy, and it's time for...
What's happening?
All right, for the first time in franchise history, the Denver Nuggets are heading to the NBA Finals. Denver swept the Lakers in L.A. with a 113-111 win to knock off the Lakers in four straight. Nikola Jokic moved past Hall of Fame center Wilt Chamberlain for the most triple-doubles in the playoffs, with Jokic scoring 30 points, pulling down 14 rebounds, and passing out 13 assists. Jamal Murray added 25 points, with Aaron Gordon scoring 22 points in the Denver win. And Murray says that their work is not over.
I mean, it's incredible. It's a lot of fun. It's surreal. You know, we're going to keep making history. That's the thing. You want to keep that mindset and enjoy the moment. But we got more work to do, So that's the mindset right now.
So we referenced Nikola Jokic named the Western Conference Finals Most Valuable Player. Denver now awaits the winner of the Eastern Conference Finals, with Miami up 3-0 over Boston. Those two play tonight, with the winner facing Denver June 1st in the finals. Nuggets' third all-time leading scorer retiring this week as Carmelo Anthony officially hung him up. Anthony, the third overall pick in the 2003 draft of the Nuggets, played parts of 8 seasons in Denver, averaging just 25 or shy of 25 points per game over 564 games. In 2009, Anthony, along with Chauncey Billups and Allen Iverson, led the Nuggets to the Western Conference Finals, bowing out in 5 games to the Lakers. In February 2010, Anthony was traded to the Knicks in a multiplayer swap that brought Danilo Gallinari and others to Denver. Elias Diaz and Jurickson Profar led the Rockies' bats to a 6-3 win at home against Miami Monday night. Diaz homered and doubled as he drove in 2 runs, with Profar doubling twice and knocking in 2 runs to extend his on-base streak to 30 games. Rockies take on the Marlins tonight in Game 2 of that series on the Team Sports Network. Pregame with Rockies on Deck starts at 6 o'clock. First pitch at 6:40 tonight with Jack Corrigan. And Jerry Schimmel will be in town coming up this Friday for the banquet. By the way, we have JUCO World Series banquet tickets we're giving away today on the program, so make sure you listen for that. NHL playoffs last night, it was the Florida Panthers beating the Carolina Hurricanes 1-0. Florida leads that series 3-0. And so you have that series, plus you have the Vegas Golden Knights. They lead the Dallas Stars 2-0 in that series.
South Florida is owning Boston this spring.
Yes, they are. They have stolen their cars.
Yeah.
And driving around town.
Because it was the Cats that took out the Bruins, right?
Yes. That would be an affirmative.
Most wins in a regular season. Not in a postseason.
Matters a lot more in the postseason than the regular season. Palisade girls golf team finished 8th Monday at the 14-team 4A Region 4 tournament at Book Cliff Country Club. Grand Junction took 8th, with Central represented by 2 golfers. Montrose took 9th, with the Redhawks' Kendall Bernatis shooting a 12-over-84 to qualify for state. No District 51 golfers qualified for state, with the Bulldogs' Jaden Mullaney as the Valley's highest finisher after shooting a 94 to tie for 22nd. The Tigers' Kylie Mull finished 34th, with Tuscany Ritter and teammate Taylor Arledge tying for 36. Mullins' Caitlin Zingler won the individual title. She shot a 69. Grand Junction football player Sean Gill is taking his pass rushing talents to Adams State. Gill signed his letter of intent to play for the Grizzlies after picking up 2 sacks his senior season. While the sack total was low, Gill showed the ability to put pressure on opposing quarterbacks throughout the season. Grand Junction assistant coach Jared Frazier says he expects Gill to play on the defensive line at Adams State.
His best, you know, path to success at that level is probably defensive end, because he's kind of a leaner kid. So I would assume they're looking at him at the defensive end.
Gill had 18 tackles this past season for Grand Junction. Delta Panthers baseball team is into the 3A grade A portion of the state tournament. They'll see a familiar face. The University Bulldogs got the Panthers to start the season and shut out Delta 10-0, allowing just 2 hits. Delta also played poorly behind starting pitcher Braden Sprout that day. Panthers head coach Steve Ryer says they're a much different team right now.
You know, early on, we were trying to find ourselves. We were trying to find the bats. We weren't playing good defense. And we got that part of it squared away. And we're in one of those situations where we're not hoping to win. We step on the field and we feel like, you know, we're going to win every ball game.
You can hear that game this Friday over on the Monkey, 97.1 in Delta. Pregame starts 11:15 with Mark Cantor. Grand Junction High School's Jake Stanfield will be honored as an Academic All-American this week. He played basketball and lacrosse for the Tigers. He'll be recognized in the lacrosse All-State game in between the 4A and 5A games. Stanfield outlined all the hard work that went into him getting this national award.
My GPA is about 4.25, and one of the biggest community service projects I've been involved in is I did work crew for our local Young Life. I went down to Arizona and served for a month. I've also, throughout my high school career, I've delivered kids' aid bags to Grand Junction High School.
Stanfield led the Tigers lacrosse team in takeaways with 60 this season, and that's a look at
what's happening.
And it's brought to you by our friends over at ComWest, your technology partner. They help business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions that support and secure their business technology consistently and professionally. You can go to their website right now, comwestcorp.com, and play their scavenger hunt. And if you're looking for help with your business with cybersecurity, surveillance, a new business phone system, they did our system here at the radio station. Also, backup and disaster recovery and PC and server support. They're your technology service partner. Call them today at ComWest, 970-242-8142. All right, looks like we have another caller. No, we do not. Oh, sorry. We have our guest coming up, Gaston, North Carolina coach, Sean Doty, coming up in just a moment.
Of course, hand signal's failing over here.
Sorry, that's okay. So they're coming to Grand Junction for the first time. Coach of the Rhinos from Gaston, North Carolina.
First ever Rhinos, by the way.
A lot of congratulations going to Gaston. Some first time for them. First time to have the Rhino mascot, playing in the JUCO World Series. We'll talk with him coming up next. 7:25, Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the Team.
And joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, his team coming to Grand Junction for their first ever appearance in the Junior College Baseball World Series. He's the coach of the Rhinos of Gaston College, North Carolina. Sean Doty joins us. Sean, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. Excited about the opportunity.
Take us through what it was like to beat Florence Darlington, a team that's been to Grand Junction before. You take the East District title 12-2. The emotion, the feelings that your ball club, you and your club had in getting that win and knowing that you were coming to Grand Junction for the first time.
Well, I think it's a process. I mean, we are a relatively new junior college. I mean, this is our first year eligible for postseason play. We had a really good year last year and, you know, really didn't get to see anything come to fruition. So for us, it was about kind of the journey, you know, making it through the region and then the district. And Florence Darlington's got a really good club. They've been there. They won the regular season. We won the Region 10 tournament. And so, you know, it kind of came down to that last day. And fortunately, you know, we had what I consider a really big hammer in the fact that we were at home and our guys played really well. And you know, the minute it was over, it was instant celebration. And it's been that way for a couple of days, you know, Monday and Tuesday. And then last Wednesday, we started to go back to work and try to prepare and, you know, go out there and play the same way that we've played over the last 3 weeks. I think we've played really well the last 3 weeks. So trying to keep that going. It's a great atmosphere. We hear nothing but great things about it. And, you know, the biggest part for me is keeping my guys focused on the task at hand, which is going out and trying to win the next game.
He's the coach of the Rhinos of Gaston College, North Carolina, Sean Doty, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned the restarting of the program in the fall of 2021, your first season of postseason eligibility, and you're able to get to Grand Junction. Take us through that process, Sean. What happened there in regard to restarting the program?
Well, I think Dr. Hoosier saw the value of athletics. Our board of trustees saw the value of athletics. You know, I had been at the Division I level for several years and kind of had an idea of what I thought this place could become, Charlotte being so close and being a regional airport. We're playing in an old professional park in which we've done about almost $1.4 million worth of renovations to, with a locker room and a weight room, you know, attached. And so, you know, anytime you start talking about recruiting, you start talking about facilities as well and development. And you know, the transfer portal changed the way that people recruit these days. And you see the Division I schools really getting much older. So, you know, our market is, you know, the young kids that just aren't getting opportunities to play. You know, maybe they're at a Division I school, they're good players, but they're just not getting the at-bats or the innings that they need, and how can we develop them and move them on. And, you know, this year's team so far, when Grand Junction's over, hopefully 10 days from now, 12 days from now, whatever that is, you know, we have 14 young men that have already committed to go play Division I baseball somewhere else next year. So we like the formula. We like where we're at. It's just simply a matter of going out there and trying to play well. And I wouldn't call Grand Junction a distraction at all. It's amazing. But some of our guys have never flown, so that'll be a challenge tomorrow. Some of our guys probably haven't played in front of, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 folks. So keeping them grounded and keeping them focused on the now and being in the present and just playing as well as we can play.
He's the coach of the Rhinos of Gaston College, North Carolina. Sean Doty with us today on the Team Sports Network. For coaches that haven't been here, Sean, they usually rely on talking to other coaches that have been to Grand Junction as a sounding board to get kind of a lay of the land, the expectations, those kind of things. Has there been a couple of coaches, a coach or coaches that you've talked to get some intel on what it's like playing at Sampson Plesio Field in Grand Junction?
I have. It's been really interesting. They all, you know, there's a fine line there that, you know, you try to get to your players and even your coaching staff. I mean, we obviously are there to play well and have a chance to win, but, you know, some of the advice I've gotten is, hey, you know, take it in, soak it in, enjoy it, because it's just such a special place, such a special atmosphere, and I want our kids to be able to do that, you know, first and foremost, but staying focused on the game at hand. And then, you know, the elevation there a little bit and the ballpark and its dimensions and, you know, the crowd noise. And so there's some things there that we'll have to get used to that we've talked about. The good thing about our district is we finished a weekend ago, so we're, you know, knock on wood, getting relatively healthy every single day, and guys are getting, you know, some time off. So I have reached out to a bunch of my colleagues. They're excited for me. I'm excited to try to pass that wisdom on to our guys, and then we just need to go out and hopefully take care of some business.
I imagine you probably picked the brand of Preston McDonald, who, of course, you beat his Florence Darlington team to come to Grand Junction, a Doug Little at Potomac State. Those are guys who've been out here, and they kind of know the lay of the land, don't they?
They absolutely do, and, you know, it speaks a lot to the quality of our district. So, really had to battle through that, and then I'm an Arkansan, so really good friends with the coaches at Cali County, really good friends with the coaches at Crowder Community College, and I know those folks make appearances all the time as well.
And of course, Cali, last year's national championship runner-up for Lefty Burrows and those guys here in Grand Junction. We're talking with Sean Doty, the coach of Gaston College, North Carolina, making their first trip ever to Grand Junction. Sean, let's talk about your ball club. 309 batting average this season. And Trey Truitt's had a really good year for you, 319 batting average. He leads you in home runs. He also leads you in RBIs, 15 homers, 65 RBIs. Take us through Trey Truitt and certainly the season that he's had for your ball club.
Well, Trey's been really good. Obviously, the numbers bear that out. He's not your typical middle-lineup guy. He will take walks. His on-base percentage is extremely high. You know, that's one of the things that we really focus on. Is it's amazing what you can do when you swing at strikes. So that's one of the keys is getting good pitches to hit. Our walk to strikeout ratio is really good. We want to move the ball with two strikes. Kind of the first two swings are for you and the last swings for the program approach. We call it a B swing. We'll spread out and go no stride, and you know, I see it working at LSU, so I think it's good enough for Gaston. And then, you know, we're a defensive-oriented team. Our shortstop's committed to a Division I school. Our third baseman will be very, very soon. Our center fielder's committed to a Division I, as is our left fielder. So we're going to pick it up and throw it. We're athletic in the outfield. We can run. You know, Trey's a big part of what we do, obviously, but we feel like we have a lot of pieces to the puzzle. And then, you know, on the mound, we throw a lot of strikes, 400-something innings, 163 walks, and over 500 strikeouts. So we're going to come at you. We're going to force you to put balls in play. And, you know, for us, we just want to create traffic on the bases. We like to run. We like to bunt. We like to hit and run. We're a little bit old school in that fact. And sometimes I think that's a hard matchup for folks because, you know, people don't play like that much anymore.
We're talking with Sean Doty, the coach of Gaston College, the Rhinos, coming to Grand Junction for the first time. Another one of those pieces that you kind of referenced, Sean, is Wade Kelly, who leads you in stolen bases, 38 on the season. He's got a 342 batting average. He's a guy that when he gets on the base paths can create a lot of havoc.
Well, he can, and I think, you know, part of being a really good offense is finding a way to score runs without having to, you know, get three hits in an inning. And, you know, Wade gives us an opportunity to, you know, to bunt himself on, steal second, move over on a fly ball or a ground ball and score on a sack fly. So, you know, anytime you can score a run without getting a hit, and you know, he has that speed element. Dirtslag at the top can run a little bit. Trey's got 18 bags, I believe. So, you know, we're going to try to find alternate ways to score. Sometimes that guy on the mound dictates how good you are on offense. And if he's really, really good, you know, we have to find some other ways to produce runs.
Sean Doty with us today. His Gaston College team coming to Grand Junction for the first time in program history. And, Sean, I got to ask you a question that's just more of a personal question. It says you were at Pratt Community College in Kansas, correct? You were at Pratt Community College out in Kansas, correct, at one point?
I was. I played there, yes.
Okay. Well, he was probably, I don't know if you, do you know a guy named Ron Hill that coaches high school baseball out there? He was at Pratt. I think he was a softball coach. You might have been before Ron got there, but I just saw him last weekend, and he coached at Pratt, and so he was a softball coach at Pratt, so I thought, maybe there was a crossing of the paths there between guy that I know from my high school days and yourself out in Pratt, Kansas.
Well, normally I would say there would always be a connection because there's only about 500 people in Pratt, Kansas, as you well know.
That's not a big town. No, it is not.
No, we did not cross paths.
Okay. Well, I thought I would ask.
Regard to that.
Yeah, just ask the question if there was a personal connection there. But, hey, Sean, I appreciate you giving us some time this morning. Congratulations. Look forward to meeting you in person. And looking forward to watching your Rhinos. First time ever we had a Rhinos mascot playing in the Junior College World Series. We love it. And we're just thrilled to have you guys come into town.
Well, we are more than excited, and we'll be hopping on planes tomorrow morning. It'll be an all-day travel day, and get in there Thursday and try to get prepared to play what I know is going to be a great event.
Hey, Sean, appreciate the time. You guys have a safe journey out here.
Thank you so much.
All right, Sean Doty, the athletic director and the head coach of the Gaston College Rhinos out of Dallas, North Carolina.
You mean junior college coaches have to wear more than one hat?
Some of them have to, yes.
Who knew?
Yeah, I just thought, because I saw my friend Ron this last weekend, his dad passed away, and Ron was a softball coach at Pratt. He still lives in Pratt. I'm like, man, I wonder if these guys know each other by any chance. But he coached, and we'll talk more about it because we got a lot of time here coming up with Sean about coaching Justin Verlander at Old Dominion. Just an eight-time All-Star, two-time Cy Young Award winner.
Going to the Hall of Fame.
We want to blow everything out today. Okay, we don't want to blow every.
We got 2 weeks of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to save some of these things for down the road. But looking forward to Gaston coming in. We're going to talk with Wabash's coach later on this morning, 8:40 this morning.
How about that? Lose the coach to D1, and train keeps on rolling.
Yeah, Aaron Biddle is going to join us at 8:40. When I talked to Aaron yesterday for a few minutes to set up the interview, I said, how often do you talk to Rob Fournier, former coach who's now with Mark Reardon at Western Kentucky? And he goes, about every other day. So I'm constantly picking his brain.
Oh, yeah, might as well.
Absolutely.
It's a resource. It's a free resource. You know, yeah. Might as well.
All right, 7:41, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Your thoughts about the Nuggets last night getting to the finals. Do you have a preference? Right now it's looking like it's going to be Miami. And Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, against MVP of the Western Conference Finals, Nikola Jokic.
My preference would be Boston just for their ability to quit.
That would be great, but I don't think that's... it's what now, 150-0?
Yeah.
Teams that are up 3-0?
Yeah, it's not happening.
I think it's going to be 150-1 after maybe tonight. Yeah. Your preference, I don't think, and would be my preference as well, I don't think it's probably going to happen.
But if there's anybody playing as good as the Heat right now, it's the Nuggets, because no one else is still playing.
Absolutely.
Because the Celtics have quit, and the Heat and the Nuggets are the only two teams really still playing basketball.
All right, 7:42, and your thoughts about the Nuggets making the finals first time ever. It's a big moment for Denver sports history,
yeah,
as you referenced, to have all four of the major sports teams. Even the Rapids won a championship.
Sure. Mammoth. So.
Mammoth have won a championship.
Defending champs, still fighting.
The
Outlaws.
Colorado Crush point.
Yeah.
Won Arena Bowl championship.
True, they did. DU, the Pios.
Yeah, won some hockey championships. So there's championship. Buffaloes have won a national championship in college football,
mm-hmm.
or co-national champions, I should say. So it's a big moment for the Nuggets to get to the finals.
It is.
But I do love the demeanor of guys like Jamal Murray and others and Michael Malone. It's great. We're excited. Glad we won. Still a lot of work to be done. There's still a championship to win in Denver with this group.
Yeah.
And so if you got some thoughts on that today, text or call us 970-242-1340. I asked Pete the moment he's going to think about the most, and he had a lot of things he had to say. Our caller, Pete, earlier. For me, it was after Gordon gets a piece of LeBron's shot and Murray reaches in and grabs it, and
mm-hmm.
and then LeBron's still able to get kind of the shot off and Aaron Gordon blocks it. Nikola Jokic is putting his hands on his knees and bending over, just like,
yeah. Oh. Tired Nikola from Portland series rears his head.
Yeah. But it was just this look of physical exhaustion, but mental, mm-hmm. just mentally being able to catch breath and go, oh, we've done it.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as we've won this series, we held off LeBron at his best in this series at a 40-game effort by LeBron James. We're going on to the finals. That'll always be... always resonate with me, just that Nikola Jokic putting his bent over hands on his knees like, oh, we finally have done it. All right, so it's 7:44. It's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You talked about the exhausted Western Conference Finals MVP. And he was asked in the post game between the Western Conference Finals MVP and the regular season MVP, and he says, "Stop being so mean to Joel Embiid."
I don't think about MVPs anymore, and I think it's people are just mean and saying that Embiid shouldn't want it. I think he should want it. I think he was playing. If you watch it, extremely, extremely tough basketball through whole season, and I don't want to say playoff doesn't mean in that, but he was really amazing in 82 games or how many games he played.
That's very nice of him to say in that moment.
But extremely also, classy move on the part of Nikola Jokic.
Also, stop asking him about Joel Embiid.
Yeah, it's over. He lost the MVP to Embiid
a month ago.
Joker's moving on.
Yeah. So
he's got bigger fish to fry now than that.
Yes. So, right. You know, let's let that dog lie.
Yeah,
right
just
now.
Okay. Stop asking about it. 7:46 will bring you some sound from last night's Nuggets clinching win in LA against the Lakers. Gosh, that sounds good to say. Feels really good saying it. We'll have that coming up next.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The team.
Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Nuggets beat the Lakers last night. Denver moves on to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. And look, Nikola Jokic, another incredible performance by mm-hmm. Nikola Jokic last night. And I don't know if you caught which song Nikola Jokic likes to hear. One of his favorite tunes. I guess he's playing this last night. When do you know?
No, I don't.
Then Nikola Jokic last night.
Please be when something good.
When his brothers, you know, they came through the curtain, started playing this song last night. If I can find it here, I had it. Let's see. Let me try it again. This is all going very, very badly.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is what he likes to.
I should have known.
Some people just call him the greatest Nugget of all time. Some call him the two-time MVP. Anyway, Nikola Jokic last night, listening to some Steve Miller Band of the Joker. He is the Western Conference MVP and for Nikola Jokic last night. He did this against Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. who I know people call him street clothes and stuff like that. Anthony Davis, I thought, played really well the bulk of this series.
He did. He had a really good series.
And he's one of the better defensive centers in the league. And for Nikola to do what he did last night and throughout the course of the series against Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. just once again speaks volumes about how good he is.
When he's out there and motivated, he's one of the best players in the league, Anthony Davis. And that's why the Lakers went out and got him. And he showed that kind of that peak talent in this series at times. I mean, he was a force for them in Denver.
No doubt. I mean, last night, 21 points, 14 rebounds, had a few blocks on the defensive end. Mm-hmm.
And last night may have been his worst game of the series, to be honest.
Possibly so.
I mean, what, 21, 14, and 4 is what you said with blocks?
Yeah.
That's his worst game of the series. That's pretty good. That's pretty good Anthony Davis for you right there. But like we were talking out in the hallway, Reeves, Hachimura, Schroeder, D'Angelo Russell, Lonnie Walker Jr. the 4th, you can only rely on those guys so much before the Nuggets talent is just going to win out, because the Nuggets bench is better than the Lakers bench.
Absolutely.
And it may not have shown it every game, but when it mattered, game 3, game 4, they showed up. And Hachimura had a great game 3. Had a great first half in game 3. But it didn't matter because they didn't win that game.
But Aaron Gordon last night was a huge difference on both ends of the floor. 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Comes up with the block late on LeBron James on that final shot. Just put together a heck of a performance. And Jamal Murray.
Phenomenal.
Helping out defensively last night. Yeah. Grabbing the balls, LeBron. Excuse me, as LeBron went up for that shot. Raise some sound. Here's Jamal Murray on that final play last night.
We didn't know what the last play was going to be. In the first game, I was in foul trouble. It's tough to guard LeBron with foul trouble. So, yeah, we switched. You know, we mixed it up during the series, showing and switching. And then at the end of the play, I just saw AG was a little late. And I just kind of remember that play in Indiana or against Indiana when he went in for the left-hand layup. So I was always going to let him have a good angle, at least give AG the time to get back and get a contest.
Speaking of AG, Aaron Gordon talking about his journey to this point.
It's been a lot of work. A lot of work. Days and days and 2-a-days and 3-a-days and 4-a-days for years and years and years just so you can make maybe one big shot, you know, or make one big play or have one big game or one big series. You know, it's been a lot of work. I'm just ecstatic to come to an organization that plays the right way and has a brand of basketball that's just fun to play, fun to be around, and keeps energy in the ball. You know, the journey's not over. I'm going to continue to work, and I'm just enjoying the moment.
Still feel like his best basketball is to come. Mm-hmm. I just feel that about Aaron Gordon. Maybe I'm wrong about that, because the athleticism's there.
It feels that way, yeah.
It feels like there's still more there mm-hmm. for Aaron Gordon.
And can we talk about Jamal Murray's memory, first of all?
No kidding.
Because that play against the Pacers.
Against Indiana.
Like 5 years ago. In that game 7 where he went left with the layup. And like to think in that moment.
To
like,
remember.
Oh yeah, he did that in the Pacers game.
Hey, LeBron did that in that game.
I say this in the nicest way possible, but freak.
That's incredible. It's like, incredible
dude,
memory.
I'm looking up. I'm like, when was the last time LeBron even played the Pacers in the postseason?
Just remarkable. All right, hour 2 coming up next. Text or call us 970-242-1340.
This is JR with a CBS Sports Minute sponsored by Wrangler. It's Wrangler season out there. Shop Wrangler.com for new denim styles. Carmelo Anthony announced his retirement, and there was so much talk about what he hasn't done as opposed to what he did. No ring, no defense, overrated. Overrated in comparison to who? LeBron and Jordan? Anyone who's ever picked up a ball would love to have his accomplishments. The Hall of Fame is next. I'm JR.